We're on the page. I hope everybody has the page. The 69 and 70. I gave you last week, so most of you look familiar to me. If not, then somebody could probably send it from their phone to your phone in less than a second. So you could send your number to that person's number, and they could send you back the picture, and that's it. The only thing is you still have to learn it. We're talking about, Rav Kook is talking about growing up. It's not for you. You don't need this.
I know. No, I don't want to grow up.
Peter Pan. Okay. I don't think any of us want to grow up, but we do, and we lose something very, very precious along the way. Children want to be adults, and adults want to be children. And what Rav Kook speaks often about is this loss of tmimus, the loss of yaldus, of being a child, but not just as individuals. He's speaking about us as a nation. You know, that's the big chiddush of Kook's Torah, is that Rav Kook, every moment of his life, was thinking about Am Yisrael. It wasn't just about the ikur is more the avod of the individual, and by Rav Kook, it was the nation, the people. And what we were learning at the end last Erev Shabbos was a Torah from one of the Talmidim of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, one of the big Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Tzvi Yisrael Tau, from Har Hamor. So we were on page 69. The other two sides is a Torah from Erez HaTchia, Rav Avinash's commentary, and we were learning the note 1334. So I hope that you have that. If not, see, maybe someone next to you can give it to you. Rav Kook and his Talmidim were explaining the kilkulum that we find at the end of time, davka, when we're in these last stages of the pekida, and we're coming to Mashiach. Chazal already spoke about this so long ago that it's going to be terrible, terrible tumult and sorrows before Mashiach comes. And the descriptions that we have from Chazal and then later on, and then you have Cook's words describing the contradictions of the last generation, this end of time, which on the one hand, which we learned in the Maamar Hador, we spent a lot of time on that, that on the one hand the generation is so idealistic, is so elevated and exalted, but on the other hand is so unbelievably and terribly confused and lost in Gashmias. And we were learning last week how Rav Kook predicted this. He saw this beginning to unfold, and he described what's happening in our times in the most remarkable way, that there are going to be Jews who at the end of time, because of the financial, physical prosperity and well-being that we've never had, and now that we have, there are going to be many, many, many Jews who, as a result of this expansion of physical life, which is a good sign, which is a sign of Mashiach ben Yosef, which is a sign of Geula, of redemption, but we'll jump on that ke'ilu, that's all there is. There's just that redemption of Mashiach ben Yosef. And with that, Rav Kook said, "Taktin es haneshama." He writes in Erez HaTchia that I mentioned last week that externally the soul of the Jewish people will shrink. And as a result of that, the great idealistic dreams and visions of the past and we're going to see externally are going to be shrinking. And this is going to cause tremendous kilkulim, tremendous damage, a rebellion against Yiddishkeit, a milchama against Hashem, and so on. And what Rav Kook explained in his Talmidim, and here we're learning from Rav Tau, we're around six lines up from the bottom of page 69 in the note. Ach, ein mokum ledaiga. It's a good place to begin. Ein mokum ledaiga, there's no reason to worry. We were talking about how in the life of a child, the child that is so independent that he can't bear the shibud and the ol of any authority, parents, teachers. At the same time, that child can get lost and does get lost in terrible problems and terrible kilkulim. But the fact that the child feels this ruach of independence and this need to express himself and to be himself, although it causes unbelievable heartache for the parents and difficulties for the rebbeim and the teachers, but in pnimius, it's a sign of unbelievable health. Through all the long years of galus, we fell into line. Our souls were crushed, and we became like obedient. We became obedient and more passive spectators. So, where in the past it was relatively easy to tell a child, sit down and just put your finger in the Gemara and behave and listen, and it worked. Even when I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and I had the boys, it always was amazing to me that they didn't just like get up and walk out. I thought it was an amazing thing. I would say, like, you know, the guy was like this, and this is serious, and there's going to be a bechina. You know, I gave, like, you know, this, like, a strong talk, and with the exception of, like, one or two, they actually listened. It was always amazing to me, because they sat down, and they listened, and we learned, you know, and it was amazing to me that they didn't just get up. The same way that I've told you many times that, like, when I'm driving out to Israel, and you pass, you know, you're going, like, through Yericho, and you see all the shepherds, the Bedouins, right, with the sheep. And it always astonishes me that the sheep don't just look and say, like, why don't we make a run for it, right? This is ridiculous. Like, this is just ridiculous. There's, like, one tired Arab that's walking in front, and the rest of the chevra is, like, 500. He's, and megait, 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 vait, megait, vait, like, to the shlachthaus they're going, you know? And I think, Rabbeinu Shalom, why don't you just stand up and like, you know, they must speak to who you, and they can just, in a minute, they can finish them off, right? So for the long years of galus, when the terrible, terrible side effects of galus sickness is that type of listlessness and being passive and pessimistic and falling into line and losing the will to resist and to change and to... That's what happens when somebody is in prison also for a long time. Years ago, for a course that I was taking in graduate school, I had to read a book on prisoner mentality, and I was reading about this, and how often they even start, I forgot what it's called, you know, they start to be miskashet to the ones who are imprisoning them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They start to have
institutionalized?
What?
Institutionalized?
Yeah, I don't remember, but they start to relate more to the ones who are...
Stockholm syndrome.
They start to relate more to the ones who are the Meshavdim, to the Paro, than to the Moshe. They start to feel more connected to the Paro, which is a terrible, terrible, sad and tragic thing for a human being to lose a cheshek, to lose. So spiritually, we produce giants during the years of Galus because closed up in the room with the Sfar, you know, in that world. There were giants that were being produced. But in many, many ways, in Chitzonius, we lost our will. We lost our drive to be a people, to be free, to be a people, to be our own balabatim, v'chula, v'chula, v'chula. And in modern times, this is returning in a very strong way. It's like we're kids, and we're going crazy. We're going crazy, you know. So we have this, you know, on the one hand you have this, you know, the Eretz Yisrael, the Medinat Yisrael, we have our own soldiers, we have our army, but then Taktin HaNeshama, the Neshama starts to shrink. On the other hand, there are Jews that they don't want to recognize the others. There was this cutest thing that one of the Chevra sent me, I'm sure it went around to everybody, that one of the Chevra sent me, that, you know, they always have the Tzahal, the idea of they're always at the Kaisel, they have, that's, you, many times you see them there, right? They have... the Hakshara, to bring them into the army, they have there, they give them a Tanakh. And they have a whole tekes, a whole ceremony. And it's very beautiful. I always enjoy seeing that. You have this, they sing Am Yisrael Chai very often. So there was this video that somebody sent me of soldiers that took Chosel, like 100 guys or something, and they had their rifles and they were marching. And there was this old Hasidic Shahid that was marching together with them. He just thought, and the guys like loved it. They were going, and they loved it. And it turns out there's a little Rebbe in Yerushalayim called the Kolomei Rebbe. I don't know if he has any Hasidim, but he's a Tzaddik Yid. And for whatever reason, he was holding a little big, you know, like with his breakfast his wife gave him. And he's probably one of these Jews that sits all day at the coast. So he looks very familiar to me. I can show you the thing. And he just joined them. And he just starts going like together with them. And they're looking on the side and they're happy. Like they see this year. And I was looking at that and I watched it like 3 or 4 times. I was very taken by the look on his face, like of certain pride. And the look on their faces. These soldiers, most of them were probably not religious. And also had a certain look of pride. And I thought to myself, why can't we make a shidduch over here? Like, you know, everybody's happy, everybody's proud, we all love each other, so let's march together. Like this Yid, this old Jew, he said, I'm going to march together with the chevra. Everybody else stands on the sun. He goes together with the chevra. And it's hard, what Rav Kook is describing is this rebellion at the end of time that comes from a feeling of a child being free, and the children don't feel that shibud. We crush them and we force them to line up and to sit in the class and to behave and to do this and to do that and close your button and tie your shoelaces and all this and whatever it is, and they learn over time and they become like us. They become like frightened sheep that just follow and go and follow along, as opposed to a certain ruach that a child has, but that ruach, of course, is also causing terrible kilkulim. There's problems and aggravation and heartache for parents and for teachers. But it's such a strong sign of health. So that's what we're learning. The bottom of page 69, 6 lines up, 7 lines up, 6. Ach ein mokum ledaiga. That's where we were up to last week. Ein mokum ledaiga. So Rav Tau says, don't be worried. Ain makom ladaiga, hayelad lo hishtana. Because what happens is, when the kid is little, very very little, then he does what he's told. When he's very little, he doesn't have a seichel of his own. So when he doesn't have a seichel of his own, he just whatever his parents tell him. He imitates his parents. He acts like his parents. Now the kid's already a teenager, so then he goes nuts. Everything is v'nahafreichu, the opposite of his parents. Ain makom ladaiga, hayelad lo hishtana. So everybody, all the parents are crying. Oi, what happened to Yanki? What happened to Yanki? He was such a good boy. What happened to Sarah? She was such a good girl. And now look, all of a sudden, so he says, no, hayelad lo hishtana. Kol advar mayofim sheifyanu aisa bialduso. All of the beautiful things that you saw in him as a little child, heim simon lamashe tomun besaycha. It's just a simon of what's hidden within him. The issues hagadelopo to a personality that's growing and that's developing here. V'kol ma shahayibo, kol hachein v'chol ha-mailas ha-toivis, all the chein, all the grace and charm, and all the mailas toivis that you saw when he was very little, that were his natural instinctive mailas. But now you see, now you're seeing the opposite of that. The kid is angry, and he's a chein. There's no chein. He's angry. He's a upset, and he's always fighting, and so on. And you don't see what happened to him. He had such beautiful midas when he was a little boy. She says all of these things. Kol achein v'chol amaylas atoyves yofiu b'yeser seis. They're going to appear. They're going to come out. They're going to emerge stronger. U'b'yeser shleimus, and with greater perfection. Al yisod hakara, on the yisod of hakara or brius shel bagris, with the hakara, the intellectual understanding, and the health of bagris of maturity, of being mature. Kachador, so it is with our generation. Kol ma shereinu b'tkufas hayalda shelo. All that we saw at the beginning of the generation, the Tkufas Hayaldus, the time of when the generation was little, children. When in Eretz Yisrael there was such unbelievable idealism, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago at the time of Rav Kook, there was such idealism, such an excitement and idealism and so on. And there were such sparks of the light of Mashiach that were filling the emotions as everybody was busy and everybody felt, wow, we're living during the times of Mashiach and we're Isaac, but the Yeshua Kroiva, the Yeshua is near. The Yeshua is near. I mean, those who remember what it was like, I mentioned last week during the Six-Day War, that Tufa was such a powerful feeling of such an excitement. Hasimon, turn the page over. Hasimon is a Nishar Be'ena. That simon is Nishar Be'ena. Knows that it's still, all of that is still there. But it's taken a while. And we're now teenagers. And as teenagers, so there's a resistance, there's a certain loss of that feeling of the excitement of when we were children. And trying to understand things and trying to contend with day-to-day life and all of the hardships and disappointments in it. But that little idealistic child, of course, is still inside. Vade shahayaldus atfisa shalchulin lo tishayer. The external expression of yaldus, of immaturity, which now, during the teenage years, is no longer expressed with the chayin and the tamimus, but now with rebelling against the establishment. This is not going to remain. This secular rapping of the angry teenager is not going to remain. It's not going to remain. Lo tishayer. L'tzarech zeh yesh laver l'shlav nosaf. And for this to, for this, you know, for the, that the teenage years to disappear, yesh laver l'shlav nosaf. To move to the next shlav. Now, is it possible to get stuck as a teenager? Yes, there are those who unfortunately are destroyed by those years, and they don't recuperate. There are different ways that that happens, but for the most part, the child moves to the next shlav. The child moves to the next phase of life, and then with maturity and with depth and with understanding, will be able to find within himself and herself those natural traits, the natural characteristics, and to express them without killing his parents, without destroying the Yiddishkeit that he was raised with. Because it's hard to understand, like, why is it that all of a sudden that this child wakes up one day and says, I'm not doing anything. And it's never been as strong as it is now. It's a natural part of growing up. Rebellion has been around from the beginning, since Adam and Chava. It was natural, but it's never been as strong, as sudden, and as inexplicable as now. In the past, there were so many things that were going on that could explain, like why this kid decided that he doesn't want to keep mitzvahs anymore. And when you look back at the pictures from the shtetl, you see that in every family. You see the Zayde with the long white beard and the Bubby wearing a big black shawl over her head. And you look at the kids and then you look at the grandchildren, you see all different types. This is not new. This is not new. But they were, to a large extent, they had some sort of an understanding or an explanation that they were looking for some idealism, whether it was in communism or Zionism, whatever it was, but there was something that was missing in their lives, and that they were looking for something bigger and something greater. But now with the kids, you don't know, when you look at these teenagers, you're trying to understand what's the idealism. It's just like the iPhone. And I was talking to a parent yesterday that was telling me that his daughter, for the last year, hardly goes off the bed. She's just in the bed all the time, looking at her phone and playing with her phone. That's all she does: texting and WhatsApp, chatting. All day long, and they try this, and psychologists, and she doesn't want to go to this one, and also they're saying the same thing to me. She was like the best girl in her class, and she was like a happy kid, and she doesn't go. She's just not in school already for months. She hasn't gone to school, and just lying in bed and looking at her phone, and it's not like she's looking, you know, into Karl Marx, and you know. And she's not reading the Communist Manifesto in Chinese. You understand? She's going there. She's like, you're saying, what is that? Like Katniss, like nothing. Like the neshama is shrinking. So it's just a strange thing. It used to be that you saw that my kid was idealistic. So like you know, so he goes off to he had a bad Rebbe in Cheder. The Rebbe was hitting him in Cheder, so now he's going off to and he's joining the communists. It was terrible. It was a tragedy, and he left Yiddishkeit. But at least you see a certain fire in the kid that he wants to change the world. He wants to move to Eretz Yisrael and to be on a kibbutz and to build the land and the Jewish people. And there's kids. They just go to bed and they just look at the phone all day, or they. They go and sit somewhere on a bench and garnish nothing. It's like so hard to understand what's going on, and it's all over and all different families and all different types of families. I don't understand. The kids just seem to have lost their cheshek for anything. Just to so the Pashtunim. I'm saying that in the nicest word that I could use, the simpletons. So the explanation, of course, is always the iPhone. The iPhone's the problem. The iPhone's the problem. The internet's the problem. The iPhone's the problem. That's a symptom of the problem. That's not the problem. It's not the shirish. It's a terrible symptom of the problem. It's not the shirish of the problem. What happened to where is that child? Where's that little boy, that little girl? That happy little boy, that little girl. What happened? Where is the excitement, the idealism? It's not even with many of them. It's beyond this. It's not that they're even rebelling. It's one thing. There's a madrega to fight, to kick, to yell, to rebel. It's a madrega of emuna, right? Not to care about anything. It seems like lochpatli. They just sit around doing nothing. I'm doing nothing, just like. And what's the shurish of that? It's something which is even, it's even scarier than the trouble. You know, the one that's got all kinds of causes and is fighting and screaming and yelling. But the kids that don't fight anymore, they just. So I'm not interested. There was a boy that came to talk to me because the parents asked him to, and he agreed to come a few months ago. He's very nice. He's a wonderful boy. He's a top student. He said, I don't care about anything. I don't care about it. I don't care. So what do you mean with that? I don't care. Something happened? No. I just don't care. I don't know how to have a conversation. You see chevra like this, walking around. I don't care. It's a mechai to talk to somebody that's yelling, that's fighting. It's a mechai. And I've been doing that for many, many years. I enjoy that. That's a melchama. Hilchas Deis, right? It's a melchama. It's gewaldig. You talk to someone that's... But like I'm sitting with this boy, I don't know where to start. I'm like, on my head. I'm trying to figure out, like, what do I do here with this? give me a little bit of an opening, you know. Something. Tell me you hate your parents, you're angry. No. Drugs? No, I'm not interested. It's not even interested in drugs. You have a girlfriend? No. Not interested. So my first thought is this kid was molested by somebody. That's my first thought. He sounds like he's dead. And that's very often what I'm finding. Very often what I'm finding. Somebody did something to this kid. I asked him that as well. I said, tell me. Be'emes. Tell me. Look at me in the eyes and tell me, did anybody do something to you? So what do you mean? I said, did anybody do anything to you physically, touch you? Then, no. So what is it with you? I'm not bothering. Am I bothering anybody? Not bothering. It's kind of tefillin, it's kind of davening, it's kind of Shabbos, going this. Doesn't want anything. So what does he want? He's interested in a certain subject and science. And he's hoping he just wants to get out of yeshiva and out of high school. It's making him crazy. He's one of the top guys in his class in Gemara. Straight Aleph plus. So he does want to succeed because he wants. So I asked him, so you're doing very well. He said, because I want to get out of this and I want to be able to go into, to school and to, he likes science and to do something with robots and things, whatever he was talking about. So like some advanced stuff. He's a smart guy. So he says this to me. I said to him, well, you want to work with robots because you yourself are a robot. That's how you're talking. So that's why you like robots. You want to be with robots your whole life. You're a human being. Let's talk. I couldn't get anything out of him. It's like this. He goes like this. I don't think I ever walked out from a conversation with a Jew like as depressed at this. Felt such a thing like a yeyush, terrible yeyush. I'm not Messiah Chasom and the boy, but a feeling to come to contact with such yeyush. Now what's happening in the Misgeres of what we're learning is that I'm just going a little bit off the sugya is because what happens when a child is molested, and I'm worried that this child, I still have, even though he told me not. They oftentimes say not. They usually say no. What happens is that the greatest evil is perpetrated upon that kid, because the most evil thing you could do to a child is to take away his childhood. Now, we do that also, but we don't do it, God forbid, in a violent way, and we don't do it in an evil way. We just do it because we're adults and we tell the kid to, behave, and okay, you got some Seder in the house, right? But this is...
How old is he?
Coming to the end of high school.
Was that 14?
No. 17, 18.
He's like 17.
Yes, 16, 17, something like that. So when a child is, God forbid, molested, and then the childhood is taken away. And when that's taken away, the kid is thrown into a place of tohu vavo. Tohu vavo. And that's a lot of what we're seeing now. That's a lot of what we're seeing now. All of the therapists will tell you that a very big majority of the kids that are leaving Yiddishkeit, a significant percentage of them, have had some sort of, to one degree or another, some sort of very bad maisa. Maisa, shloye also, terrible thing.
Could it only be physical, or could it also be emotional?
No, there's a lot of physical, and if not that, then there's something very strong, emotionally jarring thing that could also. But there's a lot of physical.
Could it be the gashmias?
Huh?
Could it be the gashmias, and you don't need to do anything anymore? And when people raise with no,
so that all plays into it. That's part of it. But that alone is not the only explanation. That's a very big part of it. That's what Rav Kook was saying, and that is a very big part of it. The gashmias, what's out there and what's available, and the gashmias.
Isn't it the worst?
That's certainly a very big part of it. So combined, now if it's just the gashmias, then very often as somebody matures, they outgrow their they can outgrow that excitement over or immature excitement over the Gashmias and become more intelligent and mature and spiritual and so on. But when you have the combination of the internet, iPhone, and all that that means, together with a child that was mishandled emotionally or physically, that's like the tag team. It's like an invincible tag team. That's like, that's really hard to get past that tag team. The only way is with the things with ahava, a lot of ahava. But other than that, it's like, it's very hard to, you know, I have to open up the heart of this kid to get to the heart, to get to the etzem, the pnimius. It's a Jewish kid. There's no question that deep inside there's something there. The child's in pain. Something is wrong. Something is hurting. You take to a therapist, and the therapist talks to the kid, and the kid says, same thing, I don't know. What is it? What's bothering you? No, nothing's bothering me. I just don't care. There's a lot of that. You could see, if you go to classroom, you could look in high school, you could look on the faces, you could see. Much more by boys than by girls, which is why, in terms of off the derech, there's a much higher percentage of boys than girls. Much more by boys. For different reasons. It has to do with the Yesod and Kedushas Yosef and Tzadik and these in Yonim, and also the curriculum that's being shoved down their throats also has to do with a lot. For many of the boys, it's the opposite of what they need to live and to breathe. That's the opposite of what they need. That's what they're being given is the opposite of what would give them life, and it's hard to find that child that we're talking about. It's hard to see that child. So Rav Tao is explaining Rav Kook's Torah here, and he says, Ain daiga, not to worry. It's very hard not to worry. That's what I'm saying. It's very hard not to worry. Because when you see a Lebedika kid, but the Lebedika kid is rebelling in a certain way, that's less worrisome than the one that seems to be in Golis, just marching in line. You know what I'm saying? To be the passive, empty one that's just following. In the past, that kid would just follow orders. But now they don't follow orders. They just don't care. In the past, also, one of the signs of not caring is so much is you just do whatever you're told. Because when you care a lot, then you're your own person, and you often will rebel. But nowadays, the not caring is expressed as a rebellion. But the rebellion is not like because I want to be a communist. The rebellion is just like bug off. You know, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Get off my case. Just let me stay in bed with my phone. It's just nothing. The parents don't know what to do. The parents walk around outside the room. They don't know what to do. There's more and more of this. They look when the kid's not home. They look through the kid's phone and they can't. That's not possible because the kid would never leave the phone. But they look through the kid's things to try to find some clues, some signs of something that happened over here. Sometimes when they're 27 and they're ready there. You know, the fifth Gilgul and rehab 10 times, and finally, there'll be a breakdown. The kid will say that when I was 14, you know, Uncle Avram, he did this to me. Something like that. That's what's happening.
I think a lot of this is contagious also. Like, the kids just cause other kids to get into that mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Not everyone is necessarily, something happens to them, but I know, like, 50% of my grade, and by 12th grade, wasn't Shomer Shabbos.
There's a lot of that. I'm glad you. There's a lot of that contagious stuff. There's another kid from where the kid was talking about killing himself, and I said to, I take it very seriously. It's like a very serious thing, but I said to this guy, I said, "Get out of here." The whole thing was just it was so transparent because he's immature and not particularly bright, and it was just like because. There's a sibling that's going through a whole sugya, so she starts piping up, and I'm going to kill myself. I said, you don't want to kill yourself. I said, you want to enjoy yourself. Don't want to kill yourself. You just want your parents to get all worked up and nervous so you don't have to go to school because they're afraid you're going to kill yourself. That's all you want. And then she started to laugh. She got to, you don't kill yourself. Get out of here. Kill yourself. It's very contagious. The off-the-derech thing, it's very contagious. It's very contagious. I told you they had this Hasidic guy. His English was so poor. He spoke with such a heavy accent. A bacher, and somebody brought him to me years ago in the bungalow. And this kid also with tattoos. He did the whole thing. His English was so bad. Yeah. And even when I spoke to him, he says to me, "Buddha Hashem, Buddha Hashem." I said, "This kid," he says to me, "I said, what's the story with you?" Whatever his name is, I said, "What's the story with you?" He said, "Life is good." He says, "Here, I get to have some time alone with Rabbi Weinberger from Esh Kodesh." That's what he says to me. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Now that I'm off the derech, when I was on the derech." Nobody spoke to me. I didn't get a word from anybody. My own Rebbe didn't talk to me. My father didn't talk to me. All of a sudden now, they're nervous about me, and I get to have breakfast with Rabbi Weinberger. This is what he says to me. I got fatty here. This is what he says to me, the guy. Because while he's we're having this conversation, he says to me, "Gleich der Eibishter, thank the one above, thank the one above." And he's got the tattoos, and he's Michal Shabbat, "Gleich der Eibishter, Gleich der Eibishter." Thank the one above. Thank the one above. So he caught this disease from somebody. Listen, does he have his own inyan? Of course. Because you know what? If you imitate someone that's sick over time, you like pick up the symptoms somehow. I don't know. It just becomes like an inyan. I see that too. You imitate, and it catches on in such a way that you actually believe it. You start to believe it that you're sick. And it's hard to sort out. But this girl was so obvious and so silly. But very often it's hard to sort out, like, what's going on over here? And if you don't take the person seriously, or if you show you're not taking the person seriously, forget it. And you didn't validate. And if you don't validate, that's finished. Then you're finished. But kids, it's complicated. Like, it's just complicated. It's hard to figure out. It's hard to figure out. So it's hard. Yesh le dog. It's hard not to be worried. It's very hard not to be worried. What is it?
What I meant when I said Gashmias, and I thought this is what the Rav Kook was talking about, is as we get closer to Mashiach and the materialistic world keeps growing, you know, people are spoiled and they don't have to work. In olden times, you didn't have time to think about these kinds of things because you had responsibilities. When the materialistic world grows to such an extent and you don't have to work, and then you get to this point where, like,
yeah, but that's true. But that's by a small percentage of people. By the wealthy kids, even by the wealthy families. Maybe the kids is different. But the wealthy families, they're working. I think you say the guy doesn't come home from work. He doesn't stop working because he's so crazy about money. He works 18 hours.
The children are spoiled. They don't need anything.
So you have a lot of that. You have a lot of that by the children of the very rich, by very rich people. You have a lot by the kids. There's huge problems with the kids of very rich people. Not to be motivated, not to have a cheshik for things. You see a lot of that. Yeah. It's hard to figure out who's suffering from what. Right? But at the end, be'emes and pnimi is lo ledog. Because with everything, you have to believe be'emunah shleima that inside this kid is mamish, inside this kid is a tzaddik. And with all of these discouraging things that happen, I still try, after all of the years when I talk to any of these chavr, to still believe that. And if you don't believe that, you shouldn't talk to them. If you're very careful. That inside there is that child. There is that happy and carefree child. There is that child that's there. So how it comes, what happens to the child and what you see right now, you have to work so hard to try to believe in that child that's inside. Whether this person right now, this kid, is rebellious, or the kid seems to be completely unmotivated. Even the kid that's totally unmotivated. All I'm saying is that in the rebellious kid, it's easier to see that. There's a story. Sadik about the Yismach Moshe. We're going to be mitzvah next week, in 2 weeks by his tzion. With some of the chevra going to Hungary. So there's a maisa about Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe, when he was young, he was a velts misnagid, big misnagid. is a big misnagid. And he was born in a place in Galicia, Pemishl. And he was a big misnagid. And he's already very famous as a boy. He was such a genius. But a big misnagid. Now, in Pemishl, there was a printing place. A lot of the old Svarim are from Pemishl. And there was a Chassidish Siddur that was printed in Pemishl. Nusach Svarim. Siddur that was printed in Pemishl. And in those years, that was a pretty new thing, to print the Nusach Svarim Siddur. It was printed over there in Pemishl. And the Misnagdim were very angry about this, because the Siddur put Hoidu before Baruch Shema, and they were very angry that it was changing the Seder of the Ashkenazim, what they were used to. So they were very angry. So they had a thing there in Premishal, outside the printing place. There were some of the guys, some of the Bachram. They put up a table, and they had bought some of these Siddur, and they were on the table there, and they Ravaz them through the Siddurim on the floor and was stepping on them and so on. And one of the ones who threw them on the floor was the future Yismach Moshe, the Moshe Tadavon, the great-great-great-grandfather, the Satmar Rebbe, the Yismach Moshe. So he was one of them that also threw on the floor. Now, there was a friend of the Yismach Moshe. He was called Yosef HaTzadik. That's what he was called. He was a young man. He was a big tzaddik and a big Talmud Chacham. I don't know what happened to him later on in his life. I'm not sure what happened, but he was called Yosef HaTzadik, this young man, who was like a chavusa with Yismach Moshe. He was also a misnagid. And this maisa that happened, that Jews took Siddurim and threw them on the floor, it caused a big tumult by the chassidim, you understand. They were very upset. And the word got to the Chayzer from Lublin. It reached Lublin that this happened. That there were young men, Tamir Chachamim, Yeshiva Bachim, that threw Siddurim on the floor, were stepping on Siddurim. I mean, it's okay if you disagree, you know, but to throw a Siddur on the floor. And it came to the Chayzer, and the Chayzer had heard about the Yismach Moshe, because he was well known as a young man. So he asked, what happened to that Moshe? Was he part of that Teitelbaum? He was part of that? So they said that he was from the Reish. He was one of the Reishim, you know, of throwing. And he said, what about Yosef HaTzadik? The Chazir asked, what about Yosef HaTzadik? The other one, the other famous one, Yosef HaTzadik. So they told him that Yosef HaTzadik was going around picking up the Siddurim from the floor and kissing them and putting them back on the table. So the Chayzer said like this. You listening? The Chayzer said, Moshe, he's going to come to me. He's going to be a big chassid. He said, the Yosef HaTzadik is going to remain a misnagid. That's what he said. The Yosef is going to remain a misnagid. But Moshe is going to come to me. He's going to be mine, which he did. He ended up by the Chayzer. He saw Moshe. Because he said that by the Yosef HaTzadik burnt a fire. Well, there's a fire that's burning up, but a kleiner fire. A fire that's, but by the Yismach Moshe, fire. We just have to fix him up a little bit. In other words, he's crazy. So the Chayzer said, that's one of the chassidim. He's going to be one of us. The Yosef HaTzadik is going to go around, like, you know, kissing Siddurim and putting it like that. But he's not going to be one of us. It's not going to be from us. That's what he said, the Chayzer. It's an interesting story. So when it comes to the ones that are screaming and yelling and kicking in a certain way, you know, there's less to worry about. Even though they're in many ways harder to manage. But the ones that now that you see just don't seem to have any life, any cheshek, for whatever reason, the gashmi is, there's something happened to them. It's, in many ways it's scarier than in the past. You have to daven that fire. Bemis in each one there's a big fire that should be able to come out in a good way. That's what we have to daven. So let's go back on page 69. So we finished that note there. Yeah. Yes, so at the end of the Tzar, Yes, Lav L'Shlav Nosaf, Ulam calls that Sofer Humirosh. All of this was already seen before, that this is what's going to happen. All of this we already knew in advance this was going to happen. Now let's continue. Kach Gama Kilkulim Shumakalka V'Mahalochai. Now, page 70 on top. Enem Ela Toit Tzar, Rav Avinair explains, Levai Shel Hafaz Ha'atzma'us Ba'am Yisrael. So all the Kilkulim that we see now before Mashiach comes, it's because of the independence that Jews want to have. Yesterday was Independence Day, right? It was Yom Ha'atzma'ut. So Jews want to have Ha'atzma'ut. They want to be free. Together with the freedom. The freedom is a wonderful, wanting to be free is a holy thing. It's very good. That can cause all kinds of aggravation and problems and all kinds of kilkulim. L'chein soifam lova l'chlal binyan v'tikun. Therefore, those are Rav Kook's words. Soifam lova l'chlal binyan v'tikun. So in the end, there's going to be a binyan and there's going to be a tikun. It's all going to be fixed. It's all going to be repaired. Because sof kol sof, there is still this these kilkulim, maybe in a deep way, even this emptiness is somehow a simon of that need for independence. I had to understand that and to explain that. And how could that be? What does that mean? I'm not sure. But there's also somehow an effort to somehow break away from the past, to get away from whatever is hurting the person, whatever is from the past. All right, I have to leave. We're going to continue, Mitzvah Shem, with Daima Hadorvel Odom HaMekitzim. Can you thank us all?